podcast where humans are uniquely special. Action. Literally, I don't know, that just came out of me because I think you are you.
Yeah, me.
Take one, action.
I know, that's like the thing on my Instagram where I was like, why am I doing this like a freaking cheerleader? Like, what is happening? Oh my God. Okay,
introduce yourself. Let the people know who you are, however it comes out organically.
I'm Gabriela Lopez. I'm an actress, director, period.
love, period. Okay, before we talk about how we met and then just blossomed into this awesome relationship, you grew up in Alabama, which like when I saw that, I did a little research. I'm like, where is this girl from? Because she, you feel born and raised in LA.
I'll take it. I would much rather
be from LA. I do also see a little Alabama in you, but you don't have the twang anymore.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like growing up in Alabama, I don't know, there's a I tell people because they like don't, people like realize there's a cat here that wants to be a part of it.
We accept all animals.
She'll probably make her way over here at some point. But I feel like the culture is just so people expect like, oh, Southern, you know, hospitality. But I'm like, honestly, I feel like people in the South are fake and that people in LA are like more authentic. But like the culture of growing up in the South is like ultimate people pleaser mode, in my opinion. But that was like my experience growing up in the South, and I'm so happy to not be there anymore.
When did you move to Los Angeles?
2011. So it's been about, 13 years now?
Wow.
And I feel like I always felt like growing up in the South, I was like, I don't feel like I belong here, you know, like there's somewhere else that I feel like I might fit in better. I always felt like a little bit of like an outcast in some ways, like why is this girl so weird? And then I moved to LA and I feel like I fit in more here.
What brought you to LA?
Acting. So I ever since I was like super little, I was like wanting to act and begging my parents to take me to LA or wherever I could act. I didn't even really fully like know what that was until I was like 8 or 9. And then once I did, I was like, okay, I want to do that. So then I got an agent in Atlanta, because which is like the closest like entertainment hub to like where I'm from.
And Atlanta is a hub for a lot of like sets, right?
Yeah, there's like a lot of productions. Like I mean this was, you know, all can't do math. So over 20 years ago, Atlanta was not what it is now. You know, like Atlanta has grown to be, I mean, even in the last 5-10 years, it just continues to grow and have more and more production companies and studios like set up based there.
Are people just film Vampire Diaries there?
I think so. Yeah. Vampire Diaries was Atlanta. Yeah. Because I remember like getting auditions for it. That's great that you know that. I love that. That's so funny. Marceline, stop.
Literally, really, when a cat approaches you, you just say thank you because they're so selective.
I love her.
We accept her in this podcast, however she wants to be the main character.
She really just wants to step on my computer is the only thing.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, no, terrible. You can come to me, but not on the computer.
Yeah. Okay, so did you go to college at all?
Yeah, I went to, it's funny because I'm like, I love these questions because I'm like, I feel like you and I always just go straight into like really great, like deep talks. And I'm like, wait, have we even talked about this? Like,
I don't even know. I know your trauma, but I don't even know if you went to college.
So
such a Scorpio.
I know. I was like, wait, this is so funny that we're talking about this. Because I'm like, wait, have we even talked about this? I don't know. No. It's so funny. I love it. So, yeah, I went to school in Auburn in Alabama for like a semester. Yeah. And then, because okay. I went to Auburn because it was close to Atlanta and I had signed with an agent in Atlanta when I was 18. So I was like, okay, I just want to be close there. I don't care where I go to school as long as I'm close to Atlanta. And then I was like majoring in theater. And then I ended up booking my like third audition ever, Teen Spirit, that was on ABC Family. Mm-hmm. And that's what took me out of school. So
damn,
I didn't go to
young.
Yeah, I was very young. I was very young. So it was like this, like my first semester in school, I was driving to Atlanta to like tape auditions with my agent or driving to classes. I was like so exhausted because I was full-time student and then acting at the same time and taking classes and all the stuff. And then, yeah. And then ended up only being there for a semester before I booked something that took me out of school completely.
Good so, for you, yeah. man. So then when you booked that, you moved to Los Angeles because that's where the filming was.
Actually, the filming was in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Okay.
It was still in the South, but I was there for like 5 weeks. So I like literally had to drop out of my class. Well, it was too late to withdraw from my classes. So I ended up failing all my classes. So when it came to like me trying to transfer colleges, they were like, you have F's all over your transcript. Like we can't like accept you anywhere. So I was like, all right, I guess schools.
Like, it's not my fault.
Yeah, no, yeah. I was like, I was a theater major. Like I got it's like F, 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 like all of my transcript and then an A in acting. They're like, probably like, what happened here?
It's almost like the universe made it impossible for you to continue going to school.
Literally. And I was like, okay, so I guess I'm forced to do this, but not forced, of what I really want to do. Oh God, universe, why would you do
right?
that?
I remember that happening to you another time.
Yeah, there's been quite a few times. That's been a recurring theme in my life lately. Marcy, I love you, but don't touch my computer. But yeah, I'm like, what were you asking me? I don't remember now.
So, okay, when you are on, like, this fascinates me. Knowing that, just from a human design standpoint, 2-4, self-projected projector, your only defined centers are the throat and the G center. So you're really, you feel your surroundings and you feel like how you feel. 5 people could walk into a room and you could feel one way and those 5 people could leave and another 5 people could walk into the room and you could have totally polar opposite feelings and comfort.
That's true.
And
yeah.
So I'm wondering, 5 weeks living on a, like, explain that experience, that first experience for you.
Honestly, it was one of my favorite filming experiences I've ever had. Mm. I, because
Go
we were
Disney.
In a hotel.
A point for Disney.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, let me backtrack, actually. Let me backtrack. It was my favorite filming experience. Not my favorite filming experience. On set was hell. Like, people were awful on set. I'm not going to be shy to say that. But
totally. But
actually, like, being in the hotel with the cast and getting to have that, like, camaraderie, community, like, where, like, the like how some of my best friends were formed, like, on that set, like, mm-hmm. when we just mm-hmm. got to have each other and go home, like, go back to the hotel and... we called it home, but like that was so cool. Like I haven't had that experience again where it feels like you go to work and then you go back to the hotel and you're all there together and able to like continue building those relationships. Like that was really special to me to be able to like do that. And my mom was with me at the time because I was still pretty young and I was scared to go by myself. So my mom came for like most of the shoot. So it was just like a really, really special experience, like with all the people, but on set was a completely different experience. Probably one of the worst. No, not one of. That was the worst on set experience I've ever had in my life. But the other part of the filming was amazing.
Yeah. You don't have to go too far into it, mm-hmm. but knowing that as a projector, we experience things and can see, especially like now you being a director, like a set holistically, you probably even weren't consciously aware of how much you were taking in or maybe how bitter things felt. Where Not do you at feel all, like yeah. the uncomfortableness or mistreatment, I don't know, like what stands out yeah. for you when you're thinking about that?
I'm trying to think of, I mean, yeah, I just feel like, I mean, there's like it was my very first day on set and just like how some of these people were talking to me. And it was just like, I was already really nervous, but there was like this, like, I mean, like you said, of when I'm directing now and creating like a more holistic, like I just, I don't even know if we've talked about this, but like I just was directing my short I'm working on this past weekend mm-hmm. for 2 days. And I requested everyone to join me in closing their eyes and just setting an intention at the top of each day. I kind of made everybody because I was like, I don't want to start acting until it's my film. I was like, you guys didn't join me or not, but I'm going to take this moment and I'm going to invite everybody to join me in it just so we can move through this and intentionally, like that's really important mm-hmm. to me because in contrast, not knowing I was a projector then, you know, when I was filming Teen Spirit and not knowing how I like, you know, not knowing myself really that well, I just knew that I felt really uncomfortable and that there was something in me that wanted to like speak up. And I didn't know how. I just was like, I was very close to doing it, but I just didn't know how at that time in my life.
Yeah, that's so fascinating because you being a self-projected projector, mm-hmm. having conflicting feelings in your body, how you come to the right decision for yourself is speaking it out loud, talking it out loud with someone. So even if you didn't have a specific complaint or a specific feeling, you just needed someone to talk to yeah. talk out what is going on in your world and
right.
how you were feeling and is this right, is this not right, and kind of help come to the conclusion for yourself.
Yeah, that like as I've got like we've talked about it too of like understanding I'm a self-projected projector and like, you know, being able to talk out loud and really like hear my thoughts and all like that's been so helpful for me personally now that mm-hmm. I have that tool, honestly, thanks to you. But at that time in my life, you know, like I luckily had my mom then to help me process things. So I would, at the end of the day, she'd be like, tell me about your day. And I'd be able to be like, like piecing all this together and be able to be like, I don't know if this is normal or not. Is this what being on set is like? Because if it is, I don't know if I like it.
Yeah, it's, mm-hmm. I have another dear, dear friend that is in the spiritual world, and she's actually one of my healers, and she also does acting, and she booked a commercial recently and was like a dream commercial, and they flew her down to Mexico. I'm sure she's okay if I say this because I'm not going to name her name, but she said for how much she was paid, she doesn't know if she would do it again for the like 18 to 20 hour days for like a 2 minute commercial and just how little her needs were met. And I was shocked. I was shocked to hear that, but I also, and she's a generator. She can go and is doing all the time. But on the acting side, it's almost like she, like her dream came true and then it didn't feel good.
Things are falling.
Well, that's confirmation right there.
I was like, that literally feels like this feels right for what we're talking about. Cause that's, I mean, it's interesting you bring that up too, because that's kind of like even on my set this past week where I was like, I feel like it's really difficult to, man, especially as a projector of like needing rest. I'm directing and I'm acting in my short.
Honestly, that's really efficient with budget.
Yeah, one would think. But also, like, I'm like, oh, let's not go there yet, because I'm like, oh God, we thought we would have 2 days, but we ended up having, we need 2 more days of filming, so we have to go back in like a month. It's crazy, but it's all divinely aligned, and I trust that, and yeah. I know that, but it is very like overwhelming. But the as a projector doing both of those roles, and like even as a generator, her saying like she didn't get her needs met and she doesn't know if she'd do it again, like it's like I feel like, man, I definitely, even on my own set, I didn't even have a chance to meet my own needs, because I don't have the time and the budget to have that break away from when I'm not acting, I'm directing. When I'm directing, I'm you know, it's like it's I don't know if, I mean, I don't know if I want to do that again. Like, I mean, I had to for this script. I felt like I was being called to, but that's a really interesting thing to bring up though, is like meeting your, like making sure you're meeting your needs. It's difficult when you are being asked of a lot, especially in this business, but yeah.
I think like as projectors, we have busier seasons and we have off seasons, and
yeah.
I've been in both seasons in my career and life. And I think with you, it's, you love doing this film. And so being a little tired and like, if doing both feels authentic, it's going to pay off and maybe provide a more extended rest period for you after, you know, like it's the building blocks to, and it's, we can always recharge and give our body what we need at the end of the day or at the end of the 2 days. So I wouldn't judge or limit like what you can do. I love that you're kind of doing it all, because like I've been doing it all on my end in my business for quite some time, and I never thought I would do that. But I find I'm really focused on like finding ways of efficiency, or like removing redundant things. Like, are there things on film day that you learned that you just have to habitually do because you should do it to be successful? Or is it just a big waste of time? And I don't know. Explore that a little bit.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Of like, we finding... pick up on things that we feel like we have to do.
Right.
It's like, I don't know. I don't know your world enough to know what that would look like, but there's always like creative solutions for something to be more efficient.
100%. I know, I was actually thinking about that, because since we have to go back in for 2 more days, I'm like, what a beautiful learning experience, because I got to have these 2 days and then now go back in and be like, oh, how can I take care of myself better? And how can I ask for what I need a little bit better from everyone else, you know? Because I thought I did that, but I feel like every time you get on a set, and every time it's just different. So you have to, but now that I know what this is requiring of me, I'm like, okay, now I know I can ask for what I need. And now I know what I'm going to need for myself to make sure that this is the best it can be that I did not do this past time. So it's, yeah, it's a great learning experience too, just like in general.
Totally. Also, random note, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but your digestion is daytime, like sunlight. So wait, I don't know if you ever are filming or doing something after dark, or even eating after dark, if maybe your energy is super, super low once the sun goes down.
Wait, that's interesting, because I did not know that. But like these shoots, it was at night. And I don't think I ate at night though, actually.
But that's also with like information, or if you're trying to memorize lines. It doesn't necessarily mean like the output, but like I'm, it's so opposite, like I'm cold food digestion and you're daytime digestion. So if I'm overheated, I cannot focus on anything if I'm sweating and overheated or anything. So like ice packs, ice, cooling my body down, that helps me. Yours is like actually like daytime.
Wow. That's what, so day, like daytime, like just in gen, like do I need, like this is going to sound silly, but that's a, if I'm like need, no, don't eat my cord. Thank you. that being out, like being outside, would that help me digest more potentially? Like being in like direct sunlight, that could like help.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Either eating in direct sunlight, reading in direct sunlight, answering emails, writing your next script in the next sunlight, like direct sunlight is what actually turns your brain on.
That feels so true for me. Like, yeah, that I like love.
Especially in your apartment, if you are in a room where it's not facing east or west, where there's direct sun coming into the window, you might not, you might feel a little bit more sluggish. But then the positive to that is maybe when the sun goes down, that's kind of a cue for you to like, okay, my brain can turn off now.
Interesting. Yeah, because I've never really like, luckily never had issues like sleeping or anything. Like I, knock on wood. But like at when at night, I'm like, cool, I'm relaxed. I'm usually like, I mean, not always. I'm sometimes really anxious at night. But I'm like, I'm relaxed at night. My brain was like, my self-projected projector corrects me all the time. I'll say something out loud, then I'm like, that's not true.
And I'm
like,
love
oh, okay.
We're literally witnessing a self-projected projector in person right now, like in action.
That happens to me all the time. I'll my brain's like, yeah, that feels right. And then I say it and I'm like, that's not true. And I'm like, oh, okay, you're right. It's not true. Cause that's, you know, my authority.
Your
like
voice,
it keeps me.
The sound of your voice will correct your conditioned brain.
Yeah. It's beautiful. After I like learned that, I was like, oh, now I know. Oh, if I need to know something, just talk about it out loud.
Well, and how I would assume, I'm just maybe, tell me if I'm wrong, but when you say something, people, like society tells us we have to say it with conviction right the first time. Like, God forbid we correct ourselves or we sound indecisive, but really you're not indecisive or being wrong. You're just... people audibly witness your process to getting to the right answer. So like, don't take the first thing that comes out of my mouth as the end all be all. Like, let me go through the process and then I'm going to land where it needs to land.
Yeah. I'm glad I can give myself grace on that, because I do that all the time where I'll be like, no, that's not true. And then I'll be like, yeah, I'm a self-projected projector. And people are like, what? Some people understand it and some people are like, okay, all right.
Get it.
People who get it, if you know, you know. If you don't, then you just think that I am, whatever, figuring out in the moment, that's okay too.
People have said crazier things.
That's so true.
Let's talk about your film.
Okay.
I would love to hear more, because you have been desiring to do this. I'm wondering, like, did you tap your network to make this happen? Cause you have a 4 in your profile line. Also just from going from actor to producer, director, actor, like what a way to see yourself as worthy enough to do this.
Yeah, I feel like, man, this is the first time I'm really talking about my film and I'm still processing it.
You're supposed to be processing it out loud, so let's do it.
Let's do it. This is perfect. I'm so glad that I get to do this here with you. My film, I've been in the process of like writing this idea for about 2 years. And honestly, in the past 2 years, I started really like separating myself as an actor and really started seeing myself as an artist. And instead of being attached to any ideas or outcomes or whatever, I was like, I just need to create. I'm just an artist. And my soul needs to be aligned with what my soul came here to do and say. And the more that I sat with that and like understood my North Node a little bit more, and just like the couple of those things that like, I was like, wait, hold on. I think this is directing for me. And then like, it's interesting because I feel like my, any like ego or pride that could be or attached to any of that just like goes away, because it's just like, I'm just here to create something that I need mm-hmm. to say and do. And that's it. Like that's what I'm being asked to do. So I have to do that. And that's what I'm here to do. So I ended up writing, I started writing the story. It came to me like 2 years ago, and then I started writing it and then changed it. A year ago, I started writing it again, changed it. And then I always think great on a plane. I don't know why. Does that have anything to do with my
human design? Yeah, because your mountain environment.
I was just about to say, is that...
You and I are both mountain environment and elevation.
Mm.
So ways that I help getting my juices flowing, always on a plane. Always on a plane. I will literally... Same. Down. Also walking at an incline. So lack of oxygen when you're like working out, and you kind of like I don't know. Like I find if I walk on a treadmill on an incline or if I'm hiking, I'll get like downloads.
I'm literally writing this down because I'm like, I'll forget. And I'm like, I need to start doing this like daily.
Yeah, it's almost like when I'm at that like my body's warm and I'm starting to get short breath, that when I have a little bit, like breath work is really good for you, for us, when I do breath work and I kind of like, not restrict the oxygen, but if you think about being on top of a mountain, higher elevation is thinner oxygen. So our brain works better when we're not like, when does that make sense?
It like does a lot make of mountain sense.
Environments like smoke. I don't smoke anymore, but
interesting. That's fascinating. Oh, I'm like, now when you said that, I'm like, should I start smoking? I'm just kidding. I've never smoked.
There's
I'm like,
ceremonial maybe. Ways to do it, but
yeah, that's true.
Since
I guess.
I'm not by like, you could go hiking really easily in LA, but since I'm not by like any mountains, I just do like literally 12 incline.
Wow. And you're just like, all right, here I am. Wait, that
feels progressive.
Yeah, totally. No, that's fascinating, because like every time I was little, I would be on a plane, I'd have all these crazy ideas and my creativity just goes off when I'm on a plane. And I'm like, this is so, or I'm just sleeping. It's one of the two. but sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll dream something and I'll just write it down or whatever. But that was how like this script really like it just clicked. I was on a plane and it was like end of this year, I don't remember, or beginning of the year, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's my film. It's a short film, it's not a feature. I thought it was a feature this whole time and it was a short film. Then I wrote it in my class and people actually liked it. I was very like I felt insecure about it, because like one, it's very, very personal, and I wrote about my deepest traumas and made it a weird fairy tale. That's
fucking cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, thanks.
It's very J-Lo of you.
I'll take it. Yeah, so that was, it's about a woman who loses her arm and she's set on this twisted game on trying to find it. And
oh my gosh, the production of a fairy tale. Is it all real life, or are there like green screens, or?
So yeah, there's no green screens. We do play with reality and fantasy. So everything, I keep saying this and I'm like, but everything that I am passionate about doing and want to do as a director is surrealism. I don't want to do anything besides...
What, can you give a definition of surrealism?
Yeah, well, sort of. Because if you ask people that consider themselves surrealists, they're just like, it just is, you know, it's like you can't really define what like surrealism is to somebody or not. But for me, it helps me to, it helped me and has helped me to identify myself as someone that's a surrealist. So I am like, this is who I am. This is how I see the world is like, and I, it's very like magical thinking or metaphors. Like if I think in metaphors, I express myself in metaphors. I understand the world in like more of a poetic lens and the kind of art that I've resonated with, if whether it's painting or songs or films, any kind of art, I'm like, I gravitate and feel the most like resonance with surrealism. So when I started, I was like, I don't want to do anything else. Like I don't, as a director, writer, actress is different, but as a director and writer, I really don't want to do anything other than surrealism, where it's all very like metaphorically told.
I love that. It's
the easiest way to explain it.
It's so personal to you, but I feel like what I'm hearing and resonate, I think, with how I did my watercolor painting when I was kind of in that season of life. It's personal to you, but it's malleable to where it can hit someone and be personal to them on a whole different level, because there's a metaphor can be used in so many relatable, humanizing experiences. So it doesn't just serve your selfish ego, it serves the collective for however they're meant to receive it.
Yeah, and that's my favorite part of, like, you know, I went to a lot of screenings this past week of like different short films, just to kind of get my head in that space of what other artists are doing and how they're, you know, just in general. And some of the questions they would ask, like, oh, what did you want like the audience to take away from this? And most people will answer as like, well, however they take it, you know, like it's, I have my own reasoning behind it. Happy to share if that's helpful, but it's really, however it, you take it and you want to, whatever you get out of it is what you get out of it, you know, my favorite.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think of like movies that hit me like that. And this is going to be so ridiculous, but have you seen Dune 2?
No, I haven't not seen it.
Have you seen the first one?
No, I literally have not seen any of the Dunes.
Okay, I would recommend watching it.
Okay.
There's this part of where the main character and his mother have this like higher consciousness abilities, and the way that you prove that you are one, they say this phrase like fear is the mind killer, and it's all about this like they like trans, there's like a higher consciousness like part of the movie. I don't know if many people are even picking up on that, but for me it feels very metaphorical, kind of surrealistic. It almost like this could be the future, but in this current day, like we're able to either, you know, take on fear and let it be the mind killer, or we remind ourselves that we can rise above it. Like we're stronger than like the fear in our mind. I don't know. Is that a decent example or?
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Like I genuinely think a lot of films now too will have implemented like very surrealistic elements of like even the show I did on Disney Plus, The Crossover, there was a surrealistic element in the show. Like they're starting to do like pieces in films and TV shows where I'm like, oh, yay, my favorite. But I want to see.
Keep going. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I think there was like a little tiny glitch, but yeah, go ahead. What were you saying?
just two defined throats talking.
Yay.
I was going to ask, what's your favorite, like, feature film or film or that inspires you?
Yeah, it's so funny you asked that because I just went to see it last night. They don't ever screen it, and it is actually, I'm gonna loop it back to Dune, because so my favorite filmmaker, is Jodorowsky, and he, oh my God, he's, most things that he does is, if not everything, falls into the umbrella of surrealism. And he was friends, sort of, with Dali, and Jodorowsky was the first person to adapt Dune. And there's this incredible documentary called Jodorowsky's Dune that he made frame by frame into this book. And this book influenced so many films around Hollywood, and he never got it made. It's so inspiring. It's crazy. It's heartbreaking.
Oh my gosh, send me that documentary.
I will. Yeah, you have to watch it. It's crazy because he made this and put all this time into it. He had Salvador Dali attached to being in it. I forgot he had some huge rock star attached to like being in Dune, and his vision of Dune was incredible, and it's still there. He's still alive. His book is still being, it still exists, and he sees it
more as... Why don't you bring it to life?
Oh my God, that would be a huge honor. Maybe one day. I don't know if I can have that trust one day. Sure, maybe. But at the time, man, I would love that. Anything to... Anyway. But he... He's just fascinating. I just am such a huge fan. But I went to Santa Sangre. I don't say it right because I don't speak Spanish. But Santa Sangre. I went to see it last night, actually. They don't ever screen it on the big screen, really. Like, I haven't seen it on a big screen, I don't think, ever. And it was so surreal to go see it in a theater last night. And I was like, this is my favorite film. And people were talking about it like, man, that film is so interesting. Like, what'd you think? I'm like, this is my favorite film. And they're like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, no, maybe. I don't know. Because it's a very, very, I love it though. It inspires me. And I'm so glad I'm not done with my film, because I was watching it going, oh, that inspired me to do this in my film, and inspired me to do this and try to implement this in my film. So
what is your North Node?
Eighth house, Capricorn.
Okay. So eighth house, very deep layers.
Yeah.
Structure.
Yeah. Scorpio.
But your Scorpio, like, to me, what I'm hearing surrealism is like, it's like going to a Michelin star restaurant and ordering a plate, and you don't even know the 100 different flavors that are going to hit your palate.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like a piece of white toast with butter. You know exactly what it's going to taste like. Like, there's so many flavors to surrealism, and there's so many layers that honestly, it's like, it's not for everyone. And you're going to have people that love it, and you're going to have people that like maybe... they're not ready to watch it. The film might find them 5 years later and it'll resonate with them. But it's so potent that it's just not for everyone.
Okay. Even you describing it. Sorry. There's a cat rubbing its head on my thing. So it's moving the camera. Okay.
It's okay.
Bubblegum.
But I know you get it from your reaction.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Well, I was like, the fact that you, even used a metaphor of the food to describe it was surrealism. I was like, yes, that's it. You were like, wait, so it's like as if you went to a Michelin star. I'm like, that's it. That's surrealism.
Girl,
right there.
When you said you talk in metaphors, that's all I do. I'm let's not boil the ocean.
Yeah.
The rubber meets the road.
Yeah, no, same. That, and I've done that since, like, especially when it comes to expressing my feelings to people, I'd be like, you know, it's like this, like, big, giant tree that was, like, it, and they're like, oh, here we go. And I'm like, what?
Yes.
And I never even, like, realized it. And then people would be like, why can't you just say how you feel? Like, just be like, I don't like that. And I'm like, man,
that's hard.
I think
this is why we skipped over the surface level stuff when we met.
Yeah,
because, like,
I know.
I get you.
Yeah, same. Yeah, you just took it there, and I was like, yeah, that's it. You just nailed it. But you're right. I'm not a lot of people Yeah, it's not for everybody. Like, even at the theater last night, one, it wasn't sold out. Two, like, this film is iconic to so many people, and a lot of people love Jodorowsky. But there's also, like, the people next to me were like, I could feel a lot of judgment throughout the whole film. They were like, what is this? What is that? Oh my God. What? And then I ended up having a conversation with her afterwards, and she was like, yeah, like, what'd you think? You know, I was like, oh, it's my favorite film. And she was like, oh. She was like, no,
there's
it's actually like,
there's a provokingness in your energy though, which some people, like, you have such a gentle and direct and confident way of bringing something that's not mainstream to mainstream.
Oh my God, thanks.
You're welcome. Because I'm like, I'm thinking, like, when you're witnessing one of your favorite films and having mm-hmm. people react like that, my first instinct was like, oh, what if they react to her film like that? But then I was just like, no, this is like, actually the goal is for them to question it or raise conversations.
Yes. It is like, with my film, even people reading it, I've gotten so many notes of people being like, you should change this, you should change this, you should change this. This doesn't make sense. And I go, great. I'm glad it doesn't. And they're like, but no, like,
yeah,
this doesn't make sense.
Not,
like, on
I'm
like
not
a
meant to make sense for you.
Right. And I, or they're like, you know, I think you should add this because it's missing this. And I'm like, okay, no, you know, like, and now that I'm getting to like go into the edit and like see it, and I'm like, yeah, there's things that I actually don't want it to make sense even more, you know,
Kimberly,
like
you are so in your purpose right now. Like yeah. You are so in your purpose. And when I think about your sun gate of, where is it at? Expanding the good in others' lives.
Oh yeah.
Whether it's how you treat your cast and your mm-hmm. production team, you're expanding the good in their lives by giving them a better experience. But you are, I have chills. You're expanding perspectives and bringing a little bit of lightness to trauma mm-hmm. in the surrealism yeah. or to any topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I appreciate you saying that and reminding me, because like I said, I've still been in this like bubble of like, what just happened? Did I just film? What's going on? You know, all of that.
You did just film, and, girl.
Yeah.
You did just film.
And reliving
Snaps.
Some...
You just filmed.
I just filmed. And I'm about to go back in. Like, we're still
yes.
doing it. But that's the thing is like, I feel like people witnessing some of the things that happened is what my intention was, that it would be transformative, and hopefully they, you know, maybe are still also processing it, and once we see it all on screen, it'll be able to have that effect on other people too, where they're like, oh, maybe they don't understand it, and that's great for me, and maybe they do, and that's also great for me. But I'm just happy to, yeah, I do feel very, very much in alignment with my purpose.
Yeah, your soul is like lit up right now. You just like feel giddy, like an excitement.
I am. I'm like, I get to make this film. I don't know what this means or like where this is taking me, and I can get
How
like.
How did you start? Because a lot of people want to do something and they just don't. You know what I mean? It took. You just started. Like
yeah,
what was that turning point?
That's a great question. I have commit period tattooed on my wrist. And if I say I'm going to do something, I don't know if it has to do with this self-projected projector thing either, but maybe, I don't know. But if I say I'm going to do something.
You have the gate of concluding
in
your chart. So you leave no rock unturned. So that energy is very prominent in you.
Yeah. Like I literally, if I say I'm going to do something, I don't care what it is. I'm going to do it. Like everything in me will do that. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And mm-hmm. I was insecure about writing. I was feeling like maybe this is way too far-fetched. Maybe it doesn't make sense. And then I had people read it, and like I was in a class, and I do believe in like, you know, the more support you can get from people and feedback of just one person going, this is cool. And my teacher was that one person. He was like, this is really cool. Do not change this. And I was like, okay. And it gave me that confidence. And like people in my class were like, this is really sick. And I'm like, okay, don't mess with me, guys. This is pretty crazy. And then but it gave me the confidence to be like, it gave me confidence to keep going. And then I was like, okay, if everybody's liking this and keeps giving me crazy cool feedback, I'm making this. Yeah. This is a unique piece of art, and I've never written anything this unique or personal ever in my life. So I was all right, I'm making this, and that was it. I was like, that's it. And then once I say it, and then I had people be like, all right, are we sure we're doing? I'm like, you guys, do you not know me? If I say I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it. I don't care what it takes. I don't care how much money I have to find or do or whatever. I'm gonna do it. Period. And then just trust that it'll work out, even though I have to fight that every day of like, am I stupid? Did I mess up? Should I not be doing this?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And having the two in your profile line, which I also do, ignore any thoughts of, I've never done this before, why me? I've never directed before, why me? I've never gone to a directing school, why me? There are things that just innately we're gifted at, and it can be so simple or it can be super complex. But, I'm blanking on the phrase. It might come to me, but, anyway, you know, this happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
Just knowing that if you desire it and you're doing it, you don't need to prove by any certification to anyone else.
Yeah, I believe wholeheartedly.
You started and you filmed. Where, what's like your goal? What's your a year from now or something?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, because hopefully we will be completely like, since we still have two more days of filming.
Can I be your plus one at Park City?
Of course. And I was just about to say, like, actually, yeah, let's go Sundance. Let's go Cannes. Let's go to, that would be my dream, is to just, you know, I keep, again, like, detaching from the outcome of, like, I would love for it to get into some of these festivals and to get to go celebrate with the cast and crew. And the celebration to me, and I keep saying this over and over again, I'm like, it's not the accolade of getting into the festival. It's not like the somebody going, I also like this, and putting their stamp on it and me getting to use that laurel on my poster. It's like, it's getting to celebrate it with the cast and crew and have people go, this is something that we are proud of and that we did, whether it's perfect or not, but getting, it won't be, but being able to be like, we made this, and hopefully it leads to success in for other people in that way too. Like other artists that are, I'm collaborating with, and like answering your question a little bit ago with the four of like, I did, there are people that I've been best friends with for like, well, one, I guess, like one of my best friends of like 10 years, she's my AD on this. And this is her first time ADing as an assistant director. And, you know, us coming together to do this, or people, actors, like my old acting teacher who I was in class with for 5 or 6 years, I cast him in my film. You know, like I definitely pulled together some very talented artists to be a part of this film. And yeah, I really just want success for them. It goes back to like me wanting to
of spreading. When other people expand, you expand. Also, you're a specific manifester, so write down every single film festival you want to be in.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, okay. What's a specific manifester?
It's a variable in the chart. I'm also specific, and sometimes when I'm indecisive or I'm too scared of being specific, or I'm kind of like, I'll do anything, and you know, just kind of too open. Mm. Then it's like, we don't even know what to send your way because we don't know what you want. Whereas my wife is a non-specific manifester. So she leans more into, how do I want to feel? Mm. So I always use the example of like, I want to be a millionaire. She wants to be comfortable.
Mm.
So you see, you feel the difference? Yeah. So it's the specific is the film festival. The feeling after the specifics is to celebrate and to be grateful and honor, you know, and expand.
I see. Yeah, because I want to get into Cannes. There it is. I'll say it. I want to, that's the one. I want to get into Cannes.
Girl, I'll be your publicist just to go along for the ride.
Let's do that. Done.
Let's do
done.
It.
Done. Done. It is done. Let's do that. Because that would be, oh my God, getting to go to France and, oh my gosh, just all of that to celebrate this crazy, traumatic fairy tale that I made. Absolutely.
What's the timeline of when this could be available? Or I know you also have a GoFundMe if anyone wants to donate to help support it. I highly, 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 highly recommend it. Anything that you're able to give.
Please.
Independent art is so needed in this world.
Oh, yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, especially since we have two more days of filming, our budget, what we had basically doubled, which we did not expect. So again, a full thing of like surrender and trust of like, okay, I thought it would be this amount and now it's pretty much doubled. And I'm like, okay, did not sign
it's
up for this.
It's just expanding you. It's just expanding you. It's like, are you sure you really want this, Gabby? Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really, it's that you, that's exactly it. I got that feeling of overwhelm a couple days ago once I realized we definitely have to go back in for two more days. And I was like, why am I being expanded like this? Why are you doing this? Why do you, I'm hands up, let's go, hands up.
And like, you're not going to not go back and put out like a film that you don't feel like is completely complete.
Yeah, of course not. Like, and that I just won't do it. And even like, I'm not going to sacrifice my art. But anyway, I hope that will be done. We should be completely wrapped with everything by mid-September. And I hope that we can get like a good like picture lock. It just means like just the whole film hopefully done by November 1 at the latest. I wanted October 1, but now that we have to kind of wait for filming a little bit more, could be like mid-October to November 1. And then we can start submitting to festivals, and then we won't be able to release it online or anything like that until we're done with festivals. So that could be like a year and a half from November 1, because hopefully we'll be doing festivals from like as early as, you know, January through January the next year, and kind of doing festival circuits the entire next year, and then 2026 we would put it online.
Beautiful. Okay, so there would be no like public screening because you saved that screening for festivals.
I probably would do a private screening, definitely a private screening, probably in like November. Celebrate my birthday. Okay. Scorpio season.
Yes. Okay, that just feels right.
It does feel right. And I'm glad we're talking about it, because I haven't like dreamt about this part yet. And I'm like, wait, Kayla, you're right. Let's dream it up.
Let's talk about it.
Let's do it. But yeah, so probably we'll do a private screening. You're invited. I'll invite you. Of course you're invited.
Thanks.
But but I'll do like probably cast, crew, and just close friends to like a private screening in November. And then we won't do anything like for public until once we're done with festivals and stuff, probably.
Wow, what a big 2025 you have coming up.
Yay! I haven't even thought about that. I'm so glad we talked about it.
Just like literally just you spoke it out into existence. Just trust. And I think we've seen each other in a lot of different phases in just the last few months of being friends.
because we
both like have gone through grief. You recently went through grief and just kind of like your world shifted, and and I just, you can grieve and be inspired at the same time. It doesn't have to like be one or the other. And you just feel so light and inspired right now. Like your cup is full.
Yeah, that's good to hear, because I feel like I'm like in alignment with what I'm supposed to do, and I feel confident about that. And see, my self-projector didn't
fast.
Correct me. I do
and
move
you
fast.
You move fast. Yeah, because yeah. I was like, girl, we literally just met up like a month and a half ago.
That's true. Yeah, it's true. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then here I am doing it. People, yeah, that's probably one of the best compliments. I really appreciate you saying that, because I get, people will tell me that. They're like, God, you said you're going to do it and you just did it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't like to sit on
Hell
something.
Yeah.
If I'm going to do it, I just got to.
Also, in your body, if you're not feeling that like motivation to just do it and it's taking forever to do it, I think that is equally communicating to you of like, maybe it's not the right timing, or maybe I'm forcing something, or like when, like we as projectors, our gift is to be efficient. That saves our energy.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah.
Well, wow. We are coming up on an hour. Actually, it's 55 minutes, which is perfect, because look up angel number 55, because that was what immediately came to me in like when I was processing a donation. So I did 55. So look up that angel number or see if it pops up. For some reason, that just felt very like needed to be toward you, of like the number 55.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. I'm like, wow, that's beautiful. I love that.
Whatever description you see online too, it can also just be like when you see it, it's like, I feel like groundedness, or like, I'm good, I'm on the right path, like a lot, you know, in that way. There's like, you know, when you feel like hugged and supported by friends, and like foundational, like you got your feet on the ground, or like your bare feet in the grass, like cold grass, like you feel so connected. That's what, like, when I look at 55 in the number, it's like I'm so weighted and connected down in my, like, energetic purpose.
Yeah, and even just, like, when I just glanced at it, I was like, this is it. You know, it says represents freedom and adventure and break from the old, transformation. I'm like, let's go.
all
of those words feel good. Yeah.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah.
What... I don't have any structure for my podcast yet, so I'm trying to figure out what would be a good closing. I'm so ADD brain.
I'm insane.
Okay, what's the best, what's your mantra that you're living by these days?
Whoa, that's a good one. And I, like, everything
you
is romantic. Literally everything is romantic. Charlie XCX, like, literally that's been my mantra the past, like, since that song came out.
Everything is romantic.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Okay. I can go deeper into it, but like when I look around, I'm like, that's romantic. And I love myself.
Please go deeper into it.
Yeah. No, basically it's, like I started like seeing everything like being, because I was like, oh, romantic is just like, you know, this idea of whatever. But then I was like, wait, everything is romantic. I was like, Charlie, like, go off, because I'll be like walking. I'm like, I listen to the birds. I'm like, that's romantic. I'll drink a cup of coffee and I'm like, that's romantic. I'm sitting
like
here having this podcast.
My wife makes fun of my sexy water in the morning. She goes, here's your sexy water.
That.
And I'm like, but thank you, my colostrum and green powders in there. Thank you so much.
Oh my God, I love that. But like once you start seeing everything as like beautiful or romantic or I don't know. I was like, wait, actually, I don't need to wait for
gratitude
a certain
is the feeling.
Yeah. So that's been my mantra lately. Yeah.
Everything is romantic. I might even title this podcast as Everything is Romantic.
Yeah, honestly, people like Charlie XCX fans will be coming through like, what up?
Yes. Oh my God, I love that. Well, love you equally as much. And it was great to catch up. Good luck with
thank
everything.
You.
Keep me posted on the last few days of filming. I will leave this. I'm publishing these like probably in September. So okay. I'll connect with you to see if your GoFundMe link is still live and if there's any other links that you want me to put in probably the description. So we'll definitely be in contact, have that. But where can people follow you?
On Instagram, that's the only one I'm really on, it's at Gabriella J. Lopez. So yeah, perfect. Come follow me, check out what weird things I'm doing next.
J-Lo, at Gabby J-Lo.
Okay. That's me.
I love you so much. We'll talk soon.
Love
okay?
you. Thank you so much for having me. Love you.
Of course. Okay. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have the most beautiful day. We'll be right back.